If you've brought an offering, the offering receptacles. If you're new, there's one to my left and one in the foyer. And I just want to say how grateful we are this entire year of 2022, your faithful giving, your tithes and offerings and special gifts that has enabled us to do so much for the kingdom of God, for missions, for our staff and the church. And so we just appreciate all of your faithfulness and thank you in advance for continuing that through this coming year so we can continue doing what the Lord has called us to do. And I think that, Tuesday morning, Bernie, it will resume again the men's Tuesday morning Bible study. That'll be day after tomorrow. And so 10 o'clock here at the church for those men who are able to attend there. Bernie will meet you there and you'll be in the book of Genesis. And then the other Bible studies will be picked up here in the next few weeks. Well, this morning I want to talk about new things that are new. As we were singing that song that I'd asked the worship team to sing for us, I was listening to it the other day, and just as I listened, I was so excited to think that it talks about our debt being paid in full. Amen. And you know how special it is every month. How many know how special it is every month when you pay your bills? That makes you feel good, right? Three of you feel good about that. Come on. How many know how good that feels, right? But you know that next month the bill is coming. How many know those bills are very faithful, right? But some of you know the feeling of what it is to make your last mortgage payment. Not everyone, but some of you know that. Some of you are working toward that, but you know what it feels like to make that last mortgage payment, and you get that document in the mail that says legally you're no longer bound to that debt, and you know that next month you don't have to pay another house payment. Doesn't that just feel wonderful? How many can imagine how wonderful that's going to feel when that happens to you, right? And so you work hard every week and every day, and you make your obligations, and the Lord provides. But to think of our sin debt, and to think, as that song says, that God has been paid in full through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, no longer to bring it up. The enemy can't bring the mortgage bill and say, you owe something. He can't, because Jesus paid it all. Amen? Are you glad Jesus paid it all? Tell him you're glad this morning. Amen. That he paid it all. And you can tell the enemy, no, I don't owe that anymore. Jesus paid that debt. I couldn't pay it. You couldn't pay it. But he did. And that's what communion really is about. It is about the payment of that sin debt that all of us owed. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, does that mean we don't sin anymore? No, it doesn't. We're human and we make mistakes as we move forward. But even in that, there's provision made. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But my point was that when you kind of pay off that mortgage, those of you that have done that know, that kind of opens up a whole new avenue, Now, where will I put those funds that I've been using for the house payment? Where will I put those? What will we do with that? Will we travel more? Will we enjoy some things we couldn't enjoy before? It just kind of opens up a new avenue. For some, that means they're able to give more to missions because that's where their heart is. Others, perhaps, helping others. So, opens up a new arena. So, this morning, I want to talk about what this new year, the opportunities that it provides us as a new year. It's funny because driving to church today, I saw someone jogging that I never seen jogging before. And thank you, Jason. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate that. It's just going to be a dry sermon, so we got to get some water in it. Thank you. And I thought, this person jogging, because I come to church the same, virtually the same way every day, and I've never seen him jogging before. And I thought, he's made a New Year's resolution. And he's jogging, and the thing is, he has no shirt on. And he's just, and I don't want to criticize him. I think that's wonderful that he's doing that, a little crazy without a shirt on. Or maybe he was rooting for the Seahawks today. I don't know. But anyway, he's jogging along, and I thought, he's made a New Year's resolution. Now, chances are good in a couple days I may not see him jogging again. How many know about New Year's resolutions, right? We make them, and then all of a sudden things come up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's important to at least try to make them. I know, was it last night? Yeah, it was last night. Cheryl said, well, I've done it again. Cheryl reads through the whole Bible in a year. She does it through an app that she has. It's really exciting. And she says, the last two chapters of Revelation today. And she'll start over again today. She'll be back in Genesis, Bernie, where the men's Bible study is. And her comment to me was, we ended the year, and I'm glad it talked about something new. New heaven, new earth. Because that's what the end of Revelation says, right? I saw a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. For the old heaven and the old earth had passed away. So we know that we look forward to the day when the Lord comes, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And there's going to be righteousness there. And it won't be set up like this one is, because He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen? And we look forward to that day. So it's a reminder that it is new. So I looked at these disciples. These disciples sat in this upper room with Jesus. This is the Matthew 26 passage that I read earlier. And He's sitting around the table with His disciples. And He says to them, I want you to take this cup, for this is the cup of the new covenant, or what we call the New Testament, or the new agreement. And I'm going to drink it new with you at some point in My Father's kingdom. Now, there's a lot of debate on what He meant by that. Some people feel like that is referring to the millennial kingdom on earth. And others believe it refers to kind of a spiritual kingdom that we're in when we accept Christ as Savior. And I probably lean toward that because it wasn't long after this that the Holy Spirit came and the church was established. And the kingdom of God came with great power and force on the earth. Now, it's not the kingdom where God rules on the earth that will come, but in our hearts and our lives, Jesus Christ ought to rule in our hearts and lives every day. Amen? He ought to be King of kings and Lord of lords in our lives every single day. And so it's probably a glimpse of people that would come new into the kingdom by accepting Christ as their Savior. And so He's talking to His 12 disciples, and He's saying to them, something new is about to happen. And they're going to be astounded. Now, they were used to the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, which was important. But Jesus says, I'm going to do something new. And part of what that new is, or was, that Jesus was referring to, I believe, is He was going to make people new. Paul touched on this in 2 Corinthians 5:17 when he says these words. Paul writes to the Corinthians, therefore, if anyone, man, woman, child, senior adult, anyone, no matter what color they are, nationality they are, doesn't care what political party they're with, if anyone is in Christ, that means if they have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, they've received Him as their Savior. If they are in Christ, He is a what? New creation. He's new. She's new. They're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what Jesus kind of was referencing in the upper room there with in the communion passage, Matthew 26. Is the old was good, it brought us to this point, but now there's going to be something new. And so for people going forward that accept Christ as their Savior, they become a new creation. God does something new in their hearts and lives. You that have accepted Christ as Savior, you can probably tell me where you were. Maybe you can't give me the exact date, but you can probably say where you were or what you did. Maybe you accepted Christ at an altar at a church. Maybe you accepted Christ in your car listening to the radio. Maybe some of you were in a crusade, maybe a Billy Graham crusade, and when the invitation came, you accepted Christ. Some of you may have accepted the Lord in kids' church. Maybe you did it about 40 times and, you know, number 40 really worked, okay, or whatever. Some of you, maybe grandma led you to Christ, or mom and dad led you to Christ. But you that follow the Lord, know that Christ is your Savior, you can probably say that's when it happened. Or some can say, you know, I'm not quite sure when it happened. I just know at some point I received Christ as my Savior and I'm a Christian living for Him, and that's great. But whenever that happened, you became new. All things passed away. That old sin nature passed away, and you became new, a new creature in Christ. Now, you didn't become perfect. You didn't become perfect. There's not one perfect person in this building right now. Not one. Some of you are going, aw. No, there's not one. Now, Connor and Abby are holding their new little baby, Barrett. And I think, is he the newest baby in church? We got some others coming, but I think he's the newest. And you say, well, surely he's perfect. Just ask his parents in a few weeks. No, even Barrett is not perfect. Now, he's not responsible for that imperfection. Barrett will reach an age when he recognizes that he needs the Savior, and he will receive Christ as his Savior. And it won't be because his great-grandpa is a preacher or his grandpa is a preacher. It won't be because he belongs to Landmark or he attends Landmark Church. It'll be because Barrett receives Christ as his Savior and the Savior washes away his sins and he is a new creature. Amen? And I'm saying that by faith, Abby and Connor, that Barrett will receive Christ as his Savior. It'll be because Christ came to die for him, and he will become a new creation. No one is perfect in this building. We all have our faults. We all have our weaknesses. We all have those things that we struggle with. And maybe this last year, your struggles were pretty intense. And you look forward to a new year, and you think, well, maybe this year will be different. I've made some decisions that perhaps will help me. And I hope that's true, all of us. But even if it's not, I want you to know this. Just because you struggle doesn't mean you're not a new creation. Because in that struggle, Jesus wants to help you because you're a human being and human struggle. Now, hopefully, we can, as we get older, we can, you know, learn how to deal with some of those things. But frankly, the older I get, I realize I'm still human. I still make mistakes. But thank God Jesus covers that with his blood. Amen? And so we look forward to what the Lord will do in our hearts and lives. So don't give up. You that are struggling with some things in your life, some bad habits or some things that you do that you're not proud of, don't give up. You keep trusting Jesus. He's going to help you. And you keep calling on him. But you are a new creation if you've accepted Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so that was the message. There was a new message the disciples had after they spent time with Jesus there in the upper room. And we know that they left the room. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. The disciples fled. Only John stayed near him. He went to the cross. He died on the cross. And then he rose again 3 days later. So they have a new message. And that new message is that Jesus is alive. And they went out and carried that message to the world. Jesus is alive. He was dead, but now he's alive. And he makes people new. They become new creations in Christ Jesus. And he still does that today. But not only did they have a new message, but they had a new power to back that message up. And that new power is described in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And there, the Bible says, and these are the words of Jesus, Acts 1, 8. Jesus said to those assembled, he said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So not only did they have a new message, that Jesus was alive and that he could make you a new creation, they had a new power to back that up. And that new power came through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, they've always had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been in existence forever, because the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was present in creation. He was present with the Father and the Son. Holy Spirit was evident in the Old Testament. But the difference now, and this is according to the teachings of Jesus in the book of John, he said, but now if I go away, the Holy Spirit will come, and he won't just be around you, but he will be in you. And so when someone receives Christ as their Savior, according to the 2 Corinthians 5:17 passage, you're a new creation. And part of the new creation is you are indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside of you, and he brings great power. He brings, there's a Greek word, dunamis, power. Dunamis is the Greek word where we get the words dynamite. It's an explosive power. It's a power that comes when we need it, and it helps us overcome. It helps us do the things that we do for God. It's the power that people recognize within us. There's something different about a Christian because they have power within them. What is that power? The power of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit comes in that great power, and he lives within us. It's the Holy Spirit that speaks to us when we struggle with some of those things I spoke about. Some of the habits maybe that we have, we struggle with them. We call on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us and gives us strength to bear up and gives us strength to battle those things. It's the Holy Spirit who speaks to us. As only the Holy Spirit can speak to us. He speaks in our mind. He convicts us of sin. That's what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. He doesn't condemn us. Know that. The Holy Spirit does not condemn you. The Holy Spirit convicts us. There's a difference. Conviction is just the Holy Spirit telling us, you shouldn't do that. Condemnation is the enemy that says, if you do that, you're a lousy, terrible person. You might as well just roll yourself down on the ground and die. That's condemnation. But the Bible says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. When you are a new creation, condemnation is not part of who you are. You are not condemned. You may be convicted, but you're not condemned. How many are grateful today you are not condemned? Hallelujah. You're not condemned. Paul makes that plain in the book of Romans. But we can be convicted, and we need conviction. We need conviction. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit will use his partners in that. They're called wives. Or they're called husbands. Or they're called children. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will use our family to help convict us. What was it? Was it one of our kids, dear? Maybe it was Sharina when she was little. That's back when they had newspapers. Remember newspapers? We didn't see the news on our iPhones. I think it was Sharina. I could be mistaken, but I think it was Sharina was sitting on my lap, and I was trying to read a newspaper. And she wanted Daddy's attention. And she kept interrupting the newspaper. I'm telling on myself, aren't I? And finally, I kept saying, what? And then I'd read, what? Right. And finally, she took my cheeks and she went, I want your face. I want your face. And I put down my paper and I felt convicted. The Holy Spirit used my little girl to teach me that there can be newspaper time, but there needs to be little girl time, right? Little child time, son time. So he used them. He can use a sermon. He can use a pastor. He can use a friend. He can use a song. But he convicts us. And part of that conviction is to help us be a better person for the Lord. So there was this new message, Jesus is alive, you can be a new creation. There was this new power, indwelling Holy Spirit. And so ordinary people went out and did extraordinary things through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't read the book of Acts, maybe you're a new believer, read the book of Acts. It is full of the stories of what the power of the Holy Spirit can do. Amen? You that have read it know that. It's full of the stories of what the Holy Spirit can do in power. And then not only did they have a new message and a new power, but they also had a new direction. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus, before he would leave this earth and ascend into heaven, he gave these directions, and they're found at the end of the book of Matthew. Let me just read them to you. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them and said this to his followers, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." All authority. He's raised from the dead now. Jesus is alive just before he is taken up. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." I'm going to be with you. But here's your new direction. You're not just going to stay in Jerusalem. You're not just going to stay in Judea. You're not just going to stay in Samaria. You're going to go to the ends of the world. So now those early followers of Christ had a new direction. They were going to go to the ends of the world. And we look back now, and historically we can read the accounts of most of the disciples of where they ended up. And all of them but one gave their life for Jesus. And many of those that are not named gave their lives for Jesus. And they ended up in what we know today as India. They ended up in what we know today as Africa. They went throughout the known world. But it didn't stop there, because the next generation would go, and the next generation, until today, there is a witness for Jesus virtually everywhere in this world. Now, you and I may not be able to go, but through this last year, you have enabled others to go for us by your giving to missions. Your missionary offerings that you've given for missions have enabled people to go into all the parts of the earth. I just got a letter from our missionary in China. They have just been allowed back into China. They had to flee China during the whole COVID thing so they could continue their work. But the Stebbings are back in China doing the work of the Lord there. They had to do it through a clandestine way before, but now they're back in China, and you've helped them do that through your giving. We got a report from, again, Ukraine and from Israel, these different missionaries that we support. And they've been able to touch lives for Christ. I told Grace Family Church this morning, I went over to our little church plant in Orchards, and I thanked them, as I have you, for their giving. And I said, "You'll never know the influence this little church." I think they had 15 people this morning, just a small group. But through their missionary givings, they have been able to reach out and touch their world for Christ as well. Why? Because Jesus gave a new direction, he gave new power, he gave a new message. And every time someone comes to Christ around this world, you may never know them here, but you will see them in heaven. And you've had a part in that if you've been a part of what it means to pray for and give for our missions. Amen? Let's thank the Lord for our missionaries right now. Just thank God for them. Amen. Amen. Now, that's not saying that some of you may not go there. Some of you may end up there. I know some of your family members are there on the mission field doing a work for the Lord. And maybe the Lord might speak something to you. Who knows? You might pay off your mortgage and the Lord might say, "Okay, now I want to send you as a missionary somewhere." I'm thinking of a couple people right now, but I'm not going to say anything at all. So they had a new direction, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then lastly, and to conclude, they had a new commandment. They had a new commandment. In John chapter 13, Jesus said these words. verse 34 and 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Why did Jesus call this a new commandment? Because they were already instructed from the Old Testament to love their neighbor and to love their God. But when you look at the commandment to love in the Old Testament, there was some weaknesses in it, in the way that people carried it out, not the way that God gave it. God's always intended for it to be, love to be a perfect thing that works, but people restricted it. Many in the Old Testament took love like this. They said, "Well, I'll love you if you love me." And that's a weakness in that kind of love. Or people would say, "Well, I'll love you if you do what I ask you to do." That's not really love. Or, "I'll love you if you keep all 696 commandments." No, the people had created a weaknesses in the love of the Old Testament. So Jesus said, "I'm going to give you a new commandment." And there's so much more to this, I don't have time this morning. But he says, "I'm going to give you a new commandment, and that is that you love one another. And that is without any asterisks. I want you to love one another." Now think of the disciples. He's saying this to his followers. They were men from varied backgrounds. There were some women involved in there. And there was conflict. And if you've watched any of The Chosen, you can probably see this really beautifully illustrated at some of the conflicts they had. But he said, "I want you to love one another. And I want you to love one another as I have loved you." And the byproduct of that love is that the world is going to know that you're my disciples because you love one another. And so this kind of love comes about in the New Testament writings as an agape love. It's a love that God demonstrated for us when he gave his life for us. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, again, getting back to communion, wrapping this up, when he died on the cross, he didn't say, "Okay, I'll die for you on the cross if you do this or you do that." He didn't say that. He said, "I'm going to die on the cross even for people who don't love me." But he would go on to say that this agape kind of love is an altruistic love. It's a love that loves someone whether you love me back or not. It's the kind of love that says, "I'll love you no matter what you do to me. I'm going to love you." Part of that love will be forgiveness. So he told these disciples, "You love one another. That's my new commandment." And that carries on to all of his disciples. One of the most powerful things we can do in this coming year is to renew that commitment to love one another. Really love one another. With all the failings, with all the shortcomings, to really love that person. Now, of course, and again, this is another rabbit trail we don't have time for. I'm not saying that you need to let someone step all over you and be their doormat. I'm not talking about that. But Lord, give me the power. There's a new power in me. Give me the power to love those who don't necessarily love me. Now it's real easy to love somebody who loves me. Bernie, do you love me today? Yeah, yesterday not so much, but no, I'm kidding. You know, here's a man that I deeply love and respect. And Bernie loves me. And And that love is not dependent on the fact that maybe he didn't say hi to me in church last week. I think he did, but even if he didn't, doesn't take away the fact that I love him. I love Bernie. Yeah. No strings attached. That's it, isn't it? And now Bernie may get upset with me next Sunday. He may say to me after, am I preaching next Sunday? I don't even know if I'm preaching next Sunday or not. But he may say to me, that was a pretty lousy sermon. And he'd probably be right. So I'm not going to love you this week. He won't do that. Because he's heard a whole lot of my sermons. He's heard the good, the bad, and the ugly. And he still loves me. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Bernie. For 43 years, he's loved me. Thank you for that. And he represents really many of you. So love with no strings attached. I appreciate that. So is that the kind of love we can have this year? Where's my... Oh, there's the pulpit up there. I better get back up. Say, that's hard to do, Pastor. Yeah, I know. I know it is. But it's not impossible. Because we have a new power. It's called the Holy Spirit. He can help us love one another. So would you bow your heads for a moment? I'm going to wrap this up. I want to pray for you. And I just feel an impression, perhaps from the Holy Spirit, to pray specifically this way. And as I pray aloud, if you'll just pray inside and ask the Lord to help you love this year like you've never loved before. As I pray aloud, would you ask the Lord to help you forgive those who have hurt you? Can I ask you to pray in your heart of hearts and say, Lord, give me a love for people that I've never had before and for my family? Sometimes it's toughest to love those nearest to you. However you need to pray, I can't determine that, but I'll lead in prayer, and I just ask you to pray in your heart of hearts. Jesus, standing at the table of communion, that so beautifully demonstrates how much God loved us, I pray that you would help us love this year greater than we've ever loved before. We've done a pretty good job of it, but Lord, I think we can do even better. Help us to love those who aren't lovable. Help us to love those who may not like us at all. Help us to love those who have hurt us, intentionally or unintentionally. And help that love be manifested in forgiveness and mercy. Help me to love better with no strings attached. Help me to know the kind of love that you want me to have, Jesus. Help this new year be a year when people out in the world really see the love that Christians have for each other, but then also that Christians have even for non-Christians. Help us to love people into the kingdom. And so whatever people are praying in their heart right now, Jesus, help them and help me. Help me to love better and to love more in this coming year. Let us take the new message, Jesus is alive. He can change people with that new power of the Holy Spirit, with that new direction going throughout the world. and get a hold of this new love, this new commandment, to love like I've never loved before. And I thank you for that today in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his word today, shall we? Amen. Amen. And so I can really say I love you, and I thank God for all of you. Happy New Year. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. Thank you, Robert. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming to church today.